Children need to eat at regular intervals. They seem to grow grumpy when not fed on time or in a regular rhythm. As a young mother, I knew this to be true. However, I found myself always surprised by how quickly the meals came. For each meal, I'd scramble together what we had. I was not a planner, nor was I sure how to manage a home in a way that would make this part of the day seamless. Once I had three small children and one on the way, I knew it was time to apply my creative energy toward feeding my family well. Instead of being surprised, I developed a plan. Instead of being frazzled, I cultivated peace. You can too. Welcome to However Imperfectly, where homeschooling and homemaking intersect. This podcast is for the homeschool mom who desires to educate her children with a rich Charlotte Mason education and also has meals to put on the table and laundry to sort each day. I am your host, Joy Cherick. I hope you find encouragement as we explore the ideas of Charlotte Mason in the context of our modern homes. Mason provides the principles for living and learning with our children that offers education unlike the one we received and a full life together. We don't have time for the latest educational fad. We need time-tested tools to help us raise and educate our children in truth, beauty, and goodness. I'm sure you will come to find, as I have, that the education we are giving, however imperfectly, exceeds all that we intended or imagined. The family meal is essential to a healthy family life and childhood. Unfortunately, most American children do not have the benefit of sitting around the table with their family for regular meals. Most children's lives are so scheduled and hurried that meals are eaten on the way to or from practice or on the sidelines of sports field. The evening meal sounds like a luxury to have in a far-off, idyllic land. But it is easy enough to attain if we think of mealtimes as the thread that pulls us together instead of simply filling our tanks. What if we saw family meals as a time to connect with one another and feed the bodies and the souls that live under our roof? I am reminded of Mason's infamous quote. She says, "Mothers will work wonders once we realize that wonders are required of us." The reality is our culture is bent on deconstructing traditional norms that bring us life and allow us and our children to flourish. Many wonders are required of the modern mother to overcome the cultural flow toward individualism and selfishness instead of family and togetherness. One way to move us toward caring for one another is through feeding your family nutritious meals each day together. Let's take a look at what Miss Mason says in her book, Home Education, regarding the family meal. She says, "No pains should be spared to make the hours of meeting round the family table the brightest hours of the day. This is supposing that the children are allowed to sit at the same table as their parents, and if it is possible to let them do so at every meal excepting a late dinner, the advantage to the little people is incalculable. Here is the parents' opportunity to train them in manners and morals, to cement family love, and to accustom the children to habits such as that of thorough mastication, for instance, as important on the score of health as on that of propriety." Here Mason sees through her Victorian eyes the importance of meals together around the table. She points out that we can use the time to teach our children good manners and moral truths. We can use meals as a way to strengthen our relationships and love one another well. In short, the time around the table together, whether hurried or restful, is part of our children's education. We can even teach them to chew their food thoroughly. The truth is, it's impossible to homeschool if meals aren't coming regularly and you're drowning in laundry and home itself is in chaos. We need to know how to order our homes to bring the atmosphere, discipline, and life that educates our children and helps us thrive as mothers. And we want to thrive, not just survive. Mason often reminds us of the importance of discipline in regards to educating children. Today, we will look at a small part of that thing we can control in orchestrating meals each day through planning and preparation to provide comforting and nourishing food for their bodies. This, too, is part of their and our education. So most messages about homemaking and meal planning can be really overwhelming. We usually fall toward one of two extremes. The first extreme is the I hate to cook mother. Mothers often hate cooking because we don't know how to do it quickly. We don't now have command of the food that is easily available. And also, we don't see the benefits to the family when we offer nourishing food. The disdain for cooking becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. I hate to cook, so I put forth minimal effort. Then the meal is subpar, so I'm not motivated to try to be mediocre again. So I give up in despair. Cereal for everyone! Mothers with this line of thinking usually will say something like, I'm not good at cooking, or it's not my passion. Well, yes, of course, it's not pleasant if we have not taken the time to cultivate the skill and find a way to enjoy the work. But take heart, I'm here to tell you that cooking for your family is a skill that can be learned and a mindset that can be cultivated. I know because I used to live in this camp. Susan Schaefer McCauley, the author of For the Children's Sake, says in her book, For the Family's Sake, that a mother who makes a hobby out of cooking is a blessing to her family and everyone benefits from her hobby. When I read that, I thought, wow, that is not me. But as I have allowed those words to work their way into my heart and find ways to be embodied in my fingers and to allow myself the growing time to learn and develop the skill of cooking, I can see that time in the kitchen can be a restful way to regroup, to spend a bit of time in manual work that brings refreshment. I even look forward to it now. On the other extreme, in the art of feeding our families, we find the foodie. This mother loves to cook elaborate meals, tries new things, and enjoys providing a beautiful spread for her family. However, it tends to be more boom and bust, feast or famine. The planning and the preparation for the family takes so much time and effort that the addition of new children, illness, pregnancy, or schoolwork can throw everything off. This home may have chicken cordon bleu tonight, but cereal, fast food the rest of the week. It's best to channel this energy toward the marathon instead of the sprint. Bringing a new meal into the home once a week is more restful than trying to execute a new recipe each night. Balance is the key. We want to create margin in our lives to be able to enjoy time with our family, not simply moving from one task to the next. I will pause here to point out that Charlotte Mason was not a mother, nor did she cook her own meals. She kept a cook and a household staff, including a carriage driver. While we can learn much from her insights and her ideas, it's helpful to remember that she was talking to Victorian mothers who also kept cooks and governesses to support their work. We are the cook, the governess, and the laundress. Our daily rhythms will reflect these duties. Where Miss Mason, as a business owner and a single woman, had different daily responsibilities and priorities. So keep the principles in mind so you don't get lost in the weeds of the particulars. Each of us must chisel our own statue and do the work that God has called us to do. Whether you hate cooking or consider yourself a foodie, you are growing your capacity to care for your family as your family grows. Yes. We come to the work unskilled and untrained, but with time and effort, we are able to do what must be done cheerfully. We can grow our capacity to love our families through our work. And as we faithfully plod through the hard days, we see the work that shapes and forms us. It grows in virtue as we do. As Mason says, we can do what we ought to do. Meal planning is one of our duties that shapes us. So let's take a look at the purpose of the meals themselves, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Afterwards, we will look at how our family rhythms play into our meal plan and how we can use our time in the kitchen as a place of refuge and solace. So let's start by taking a closer look at breakfast. Breakfast is the anchor for the morning. It acts as the ceremonial send-off. The activities of the morning, be them chores, devotions, tidying, all move toward that time when everyone is seated around the table with all the possibilities of the day set before us. A start time for breakfast is helpful to get the day off to a good start. Telling your family that breakfast starts at 8 a.m. give you and them accountability to move through the morning work and actually have breakfast ready when you say it will be. This allows everyone to know what's expected, which really helps promote peace in the home. And we can always use more peace. Once we are all seated, we can pray for the meal and make conversation as we eat. We have tried a few different practices around the breakfast table to make the conversation encouraging and to minimize bickering. One of them is for each person to take a turn to say one thing that they're thankful for. Then from the small person all the way up to the adults, they share our thanksgivings. This helps to orient us toward the blessings we enjoy. I found this to be a good practice for my own heart to say and hear the words of gratitude toward God the first thing. Another question that helps us look forward to the day ahead is, what is one thing that is within your control that would make today a good day? I love hearing the answers my children come up with as they think ahead to the day. Sometimes they'll say something like, climb a tree or build with my Legos. They may think of their own behavior, such as being kind to siblings or being obedient to parents. This question reminds all of us that we can control our attitude about the day and not be a victim to whatever may come our way. Another part of the breakfast conversation may include looking ahead to the activities and expectations for the day. This is often the best time to set expectations and coach how to behave. We can't get ahead of everything, but we plant seeds of proper behavior when we can. This begins to move us all from home life to life within the broader community. Who will be out and about today? Who will be home? This is the send-off that breakfast provides, a time to connect with one another, remember what is good, true, and beautiful, and be prepared for the day ahead. Okay, so your morning went well today. You educated, you read, and you explored things with your children, but now everyone is hungry again. That's right, that means it's lunchtime. Lunch itself is that meal in the middle of the workday. Whether work is home educating or caring for little ones, we work up an appetite and need nourishment once again. Lunch tends to be a faster meal. Gone are the days of the leisurely midday meal because often husbands aren't able to join us. The quicker lunch meal could be soup, sandwiches, a salad, or leftovers. Whatever the content, we want to make sure that we sit down and take the break and nourish our bodies. Whether lunch is cafeteria style or more formal sit-down time, it's up to us as the home managers to open the kitchen for lunch. The prep time for lunch and the offerings tend to be easier if we serve whole food like sliced apple or celery sticks or on the side with a sandwich. I've enjoyed using lunchtime as a way to teach older children how to cook and make their own meals. The point of lunch is to get us through the midday hunger so that we can make it to dinner. And then the purpose of dinner, if you have gone all day, especially if you don't have lunch together, is to bring everyone back together and recalibrate. So now let's take a closer look at dinner. This is a more formal, intentional family time where maybe the table is set with a tablecloth and a centerpiece can make the common meal feel special. These are the little touches that make a house a home. Adding beauty to our daily work allows us to apply our creativity in a way that serves and blesses our families while offering warmth to the meal. Time around the table where the children can listen to dad talk about his work or mom share a story that the kids is such a vital growing time for everyone. It's a time to reconnect, but it's also a mentoring time for the children to learn about the art of conversation and to learn about what work and out in the wide world is like. Dad is able to bring news from afar. He can bring life lessons to the children so they can learn about working with difficult coworkers or encouraging bosses or even the world events that are happening. All of these pieces of conversation are part of the child's education. Most American children grow up without the benefit of conversation around the table with their parents. The time to disciple is any time we are with our children. As Deuteronomy 6 says, as we walk by the way, as we lay down, we are able to teach our children about the love of God and His creation. We can use these common parts of the day to point our children to the God who made all things. Now we see that breakfast, lunch, and dinner all have a purpose and all have their place. They are each unique in their own way. Breakfast is the send-off. Lunch is a restorative time, and it's a little bit faster, a little bit less preparation. And then we have the evening meal that provides a time for coming back together and communing with one another. You might at this point realize that someone has to plan out all those lovely meals. Somebody has to buy every single food item and decide what is going to be on the table each time you sit down together. And that's true, and that usually ends up being the mother. As a young mom, I did not like cooking. However, after many years of faithfully trying to learn how to feed my family and realizing how important it is, I started to enjoy that time in the kitchen as a restful part of the day. And I do look forward to it now. But it takes work, and I'm still not a foodie, nor am I a culinary expert. But meal planning is one of those conundrums that no one can do for you. You can certainly start with someone else's plan. But if your lifestyle priorities you set for your family or your husband's work schedule, I mean, you have your children's needs and the routines, all of that comes into play when we look at planning our menus for the week. We will first take a look at the rhythms of our home. What happens during the week and what happens during the month and what happens each day? All of these things can shape what we choose to set as a meal for that day. And then the next thing to look at is your own capacity. The menu plan is only as good as the manager. Okay, so let's take a look at our rhythms. Every home has a weekly rhythm and a daily rhythm and a monthly rhythm that we tend to fall into a pattern that is repeated over time, whether it's a practice every Tuesday night or an activity at church or some other type of time where friends or maybe a small group meeting. I usually plan for something if we have an outing, like if we've been outside in the afternoon, I will have something easier for dinner that I can just throw together quickly. But if I know I'm going to have a longer time in the afternoon to plan, then I usually plan a more complicated dish. I might do the lasagna or enchiladas or something that takes a little bit more time to put together, but I can make many of them and can have some meals for the freezer or more leftovers. As we cultivate our skills of meal planning and menu organizing and execution, the blessings flow quickly and within many other areas of our lives. What's freeing to know is that we can grow our capacity as mothers just as our children grow in body and in spirit. As you plan out the meals for the week or the month, it helps to understand the value of the work that we are doing and how the work of meal prep shapes your home culture. These daily meals nourish your family and gives an opportunity to bring your children into the common work of the home. And it is the most practical way to include small children in the daily tasks that must be done. Whether frazzled or foodie, we can find balance to offer the atmosphere of warm and welcoming meals, the discipline of being organized and dependable in our menu offering, and all that this woven into the life we enjoy with our families each day. That's it. I'll be back in 2 weeks.